Amen.
Blessed be the name. We're in lesson 10, and as we contrast the Word of God rightly divided, and we understand some things that we've been going over, today is we're talking about the numbers. So the number 12 is associated with Israel. Be turning to Genesis chapter 32. I'll share this with you right quick. The numbers of the number 12 is the eternal perfection. It is the product of divine number 3 and the number 4, the world number. There are 12 tribes of Israel, right? There's 12 stones in the high priest's breastplate. There's 12 cakes in the showbread. There's 12 wells at the water of Elim. There's 12 spies that went into Canaan. Joshua placed 12 stones in the bed of Jordan. Elijah built an altar with 12 stones. Solomon molten sea stood on 12 brass oxen. In the New Testament, if you will, we read at 12 years of age that Jesus visited the temple. And then he chose what? 12 apostles. And his father would send him send at his request 12 legions of angels, and the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus. In the book of Revelations, we read the woman will have 12 stars, and that the New Jerusalem will have 12 gates, and the gates of 12 angels, and there's 12 foundations, and the name of them are 12 apostles of the Lamb, and it bears a tree. There's a tree that bears in the garden that bears what? 12 manners of fruit. And then that life on four squares and measures 12,000 furlongs, a side by side, 144 cubits, or 12 times 12. We also know that the regeneration, the 12 apostles will sit on 12 thrones. We'll look at that in a few minutes, judging who? The 12 tribes of Israel. So there's clear that the final thing about Israel and will have a place on this earth and the number 12. So I told you to be turning to Genesis chapter 32, starting with verse 24. Genesis 32, verse 24. Well, you know that he's wrestling with the angel there, right? And he rose up at night and took his two wives and go to verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of the thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but who? Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So this is where Jacob's names changed from Jacob to Israel. Got it? So when you hear Israel, it's referring to Jacob. And his go to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. And verse 23. Verse 22 is very, very interesting. I'm sure y'all seen this before. Verse 22. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and laid with, was that Bilhah? his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were what? 12. So there's 12 of them there. 12 sons of Israel. And he names them the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, and the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And then when he names the other two, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and was that Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Glad and Aser, and these are the sons of Jacob, which was born to him in Paddan Aram. So the first two, Leah and Rachel, are free people, right? And the other ones are handmaidens. But that verse 22, Reuben went and laid with one of his concubines, laid with the, and then he had sons, Dan, and the other one. I thought that was very interesting. But Jacob's naming them. So he laid with her, if you know what I'm talking about. And so there's 12 of them, right? And then go to Deuteronomy chapter 32 again. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels and the two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, and the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. So, I think that's right. I probably should have went. I'm in Genesis. I got to go to Deuteronomy. Why am I? Sorry about that. I'm like, this don't. Go to Deuteronomy. Sorry. Deuteronomy 32. My ignorance. Should have said, what? No, preacher, what version are you reading out of? Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. There we go. Remember the days of old, considering the years of many generations. Ask thou father, and he will show thee, thou elders, and they will tell thee. God will rule in the land of Jacob. That's what he's saying right here. Verse 8. When the Most High God divideth to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of who? Israel. Now, how many are they? 12. So there's bounds there. Verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God chose it, okay? He's chose 12 of them. He's using Israel as his inheritance. Nobody else. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. So you know the history of Israel. We looked at this before, the 12 tribes, and they're being very prosperous in the land until they started what? Fornicating with other gods and mixing with other nations, and God told them not to do that. And, you know, when God tells you not to do that and you do it, what happens? You usually end up in trouble, right? Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Verse 28. This is the same thing we read in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 9. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, well, verse 27 says, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He's wanting a little reward, ain't he? the big payday. Verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit on the sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you that have forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers and or wives or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's the Great Commission, okay? Part of the Great Commission. But that, what we read back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7 and 9, that's right there, the throne of His glory, and the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. 12, 12, 12. Go to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 4. And I heard the number of them which was sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes, of all the tribes of the children of Israel. How many tribes are they? And if you read them down through there, they take them through. And you know who else? You know who's included in this tribe? Levi. Levi, before, they didn't have an inheritance. That's why the tribes paid them 10%. But now they got the inheritance.
Which one's left out? Dan?
I think Dan is left out.
Joined idols.
Yep. Yeah. Well, who was his mama?
Good question.
No, we just read it a little while ago.
I know.
Behala. Bala, yeah. That was, who did Reuben sleep with? I'm like, is this a coincidence? Because Dan, he was a lot of trouble. But Dan means to judge. Believe it or not. So anyway, so there's 12,000 from 12 tribes. So that makes what? 12 times 12. 140,000. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verse 9 says, and Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? So he even uses 12, right? And we know there's 12 hours a night, supposedly, right? So that makes what? 24 hours. So there's 12 hours in the day, 12 hours at night. There's 20 elders up on the Mount Configuration or sides of the north. There's 24 hours in a day. So it's not mistaken that God don't know how to do math. Amen. So when you think about the nation Israel, you got to think about that number 12 dealing with 12, 12, 12. There's 12, if I'm not mistaken, there's 12 Federal Reserves across the United States. You know what a Federal Reserve is? So people in this world uses the number 12, and it refers to nation Israel, 12, 12, 12. Now, in contrast, since we're contrasting the Word of God, number 1 is associated with the body of Christ. Number 1 means unity. And wouldn't it be nice if the world was in unity right now? You know that ain't going to happen until the Lord comes back. And it keeps striking me the fact that when he sits on the throne, he's ruling with a rod of iron. It still don't seem like there's too much unity going on. If you had to stand there and rule with a rod of iron, is that peaceful out there?
No.
Not at all. And so it's unity. It symbolizes the unity of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 32, John chapter 10, verse 30, all of them refers to one God. Jesus and God is one. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, even though it's three, they're in what? One. And one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord. So Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is 12 bodies and 12 spirits, even as you are called in 12 hopes of your calling. Hello? Anybody out there? Is that what that says? Are y'all at Ephesians chapter 4? Verse 3 and 4. There is 12 bodies and 12 spirits. Is that what your body says? You should be saying, no, preacher. 12 refers to Israel, not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is one. There is one body, one spirit, even as your call and your and one hope of your calling, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, and one God, and the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So, one is dealing with the body of Christ. God, Jesus Christ is the head of the body. We know He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and it's coming. But He's also the head of the body. Go to Galatians chapter. Back one, Galatians chapter 3. See, sometimes you can get tricked in your hearing. So you better know you got a Bible. When they stood up in Pentecost, and there's 15 nations there of Jews, each one of them spoke a different dialect. And they said, these are Galileans. They heard as if they were speaking their own language. So that gift wasn't so much in the tongue as what they heard. So you better be aware of what you hear out there on the radio lands and TV lands. Because if you hear, you can hear one thing and you're like, wait a minute. You better follow along. That's not what that says. You with me? That's why you better have a good text and a majority text and know you have an authorized version in the English-speaking language that we can trust. That way when somebody tries to convince you to it says something else, you can say, Noah, you're in error. This is what it says. I heard you say it. That's why people, when you talk to people all the time, they're like, that's your interpretation. Well, very well could be. Because if you're not speaking what God speaks, guess what it is? It is your interpretation. Now, we can say, well, you say ad lib it. You know, like, I can't quote it word for word, but this is what it says. You know? So, you know, you can do it, but you better be able to back it up with the Word of God. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 says, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all, what does it say? One. Hold your finger there and go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether it be Jew, Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see this oneness? 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Not 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. Timothy, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So when we're referring to the Word of God, referring in the contrasts, between the prophetic program, there's number 12 associated with Israel. When you look at the mystery programs, number one associated with who? Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. So when we're made in oneness with Him, that's who we are. Even though we're members of the body, you know, all over, we have many members, we're still in one body. Not the 12. Not the 12. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 29 says, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We know that to be true. When Jesus spoke, He spoke as if He spoke from His Father. And when Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, died, buried, rose again, came back up and came to Paul the Apostle, he gives him some new revelations, some new information, and that's what we're doing when we show the contrast between prophetic program, something spoken since the world began. The mystery program is something what? Kept secret since the world began. And if people would just understand and just open their eyes and just let the Word of God speak to you the way we teach it, that's half the battle when you don't. You hear what you want to hear. You see what you want to see. You speak what you want to speak. But when you study the Word of God, rightly divided, it makes a world of difference, doesn't it? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.